And the second reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. That's on page 34 of the booklets, if you have them with you. If not, it's on page 1088 of the Bibles, but just it's a different translation. So that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Good afternoon, friends. My name is Tawanda. I'm one of the student ministers here at church, if we haven't met yet. Today we are coming to this passage where Paul, writing this letter to the church at Thessalonians, is writing about death. And it's a very difficult topic, I guess, for us to be talking about and for most people to deal with. But my prayer and hope today is that at the end of this, as we look at these words of God provided to us in this letter, you'll be encouraged to see how, as Christians, we have real hope with which we can face death, either be it our own, or maybe it's the death of those very close to us. And maybe you are here and you don't call yourself a Christian, or maybe you are investigating. I hope and pray that also you have a look at what we believe as Christians and how much difference that makes for life now and in eternity. Let us pray and ask God to help us. Our Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in your word to us. Father, this afternoon, speak to us through your word. Amen. Last year in September, I had the privilege of going back to Zimbabwe to attend a pastor's conference. And during the 2 weeks we were in the country, I did spend some time with a friend of mine called Nelson. So we grew up in the village together, and he's now doing ministry with university students, which is the ministry that I'll be doing when I go back home. But those 2 weeks were different from any other time that I've spent with Nelson, my friend. Because during those 2 weeks, Nelson was living with his dad in the city. His dad usually lives in the village, in the rural areas. But his dad had come to the city to live with Nelson while at least he was getting treatment, for he was diagnosed with cancer of the gut. But they only discovered it very late. In Africa, that's usually the case. It takes time for them to actually work that out. And by the time they realized that, the doctors were all saying, it's too late. There's not much help we can give. And it was a very difficult few days that I spent with him, seeing his dad in pain, seeing his body deteriorating. And you see, one of my questions was, what do I say to Nelson? What do I say to Nelson's dad? I remember the last day when we were wrapping up the pastor's conference where they'd come, and I was saying my goodbyes to Isaac, that's the name of Nelson's dad. I knew that there's high likelihood that I'll not see him again. And what would I say to him saying goodbye? What would I say to my friend? And I think, friends, this question may be a real question that some of us are facing now. It may be a question that some of us are going to face In the future, when death comes knocking at our door, either for us or maybe the ones we love, what we say, what words can we take as we try to deal with the reality of death and grieving? You see, Paul had spent 3 weeks with this church at Thessalonica preaching, and that's how the church was set up, as we read in Acts chapter 17. The Christians had believed in the news about Jesus, and the church was formed. But one thing we see is that Paul had talked to them about this coming of Jesus for the second time, and they were looking forward to it. In chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, hear what Paul says. We looked at this a few weeks ago. So Paul was talking about the Christians in Macedonia, the reports that he had heard. He says from verse 9, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Friends, they knew that Jesus was coming back again. Maybe they had been told about the wondrous things that will happen when Jesus comes back. As we read in Revelations, we hear about Jesus, when he comes, he will wipe away all the tears. He will bring in a new heaven and a new earth. He will bring us a new creation where there won't be pain or suffering. And these were Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. I have no doubt this was good news for them. They were so expectant. And I want to stop and say, as a Christian, are you expectant as you think about Jesus is coming for the second time? Do you look forward to it? Or is one of those Christian truths that lie somewhere in our cupboards and we don't, you know, bother with it, you know, week in, week out? Do you genuinely long for Jesus to come back? Well, the Thessalonian church were looking forward for that. They were waiting. But as they were doing so, the inevitable happened. Maybe one or two, we don't know, but some brothers and sisters in the church started dying. And as they were grieving, questions started coming up. You know, will these brothers and sisters miss out on the many wonders of Jesus' coming back? Are they going to miss out on the glorious experience of seeing Jesus coming back again? Will they miss out, these brothers who are asleep? And Paul is writing to them, and his message is, brothers, grieve with hope, which is why this sermon, I titled it, Grieving with Hope. And in this, you know, piece that Paul is writing, we see that grieving, it's okay. It is okay to grieve. It is normal to grieve. It's even necessary to grieve. But our grieving as Christians should be different from those who are without hope. Friends, this is a message for us all as we think about how to face death. Whether it's the death of our loved one, or maybe like Nathan we just seen on the video, it may be ours one day. Paul is not just writing this theological piece, you know, to send through, but he's writing a letter to the church that he loves. His aim is to comfort them. His aim is for them to be encouraged. And we see that at the end of this, he says in verse 18, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." How can we be encouraged? How can these words be a source of encouragement, a source of comfort for us as we face the reality of death? I think there are two things that I think I picked out from what Paul is saying here. The first one is the reason for our hope. The reason for our hope. You see, today when people talk about hope generally, what they're really saying is wish, you know, like you can hear someone saying, oh, I hope it will be sunny on Saturday because I want to do 1, 2, 3. Or, you know, I wish I could get that job or I could do that. What they're saying is, I only wish if this could happen. I'm not sure. There are no guarantees that this is going to happen. But, you know, I only wish if this could happen. But when Paul talks about this Christian hope, this hope that we need to have as we face death, is this a kind of wish? And I think as we look at the reasons for this hope, we're going to see that Christian hope is a certain hope. We have confidence in this hope. We have assurance in this hope. We are not just wishing if this could be true. Why? Because it is based upon a true event. Come with me to verse 14. I'll read from verse 13 actually. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Friends, this is the key. I could just say this and go and sit down. That the reason why we have a solid hope, the reason why we have an unwavering hope, the reason why we have a hope with which we can face death is because there is one who died and he rose again, and that is Jesus. Paul is saying two things here in verse 14. He's saying, we know that Jesus died and he rose again. And because he did that, we believe that when Jesus is going to come back, he will bring with him those who have died in him. He actually uses the term, those who have fallen asleep in him. So because Jesus died and rose again, we have hope that when he comes again, our brothers and sisters who are in Christ, who have gone before us, they are going to come with him. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Jesus. In another letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes these words, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Friends, the death and resurrection of Christ, Paul looks at that and says, that's the first fruits. I don't know if you know about the first fruits. Where I come from, the little village I come from back home, it's full of fruits. We have like people do subsistence farming, so you grow your own crops. So there are fruits everywhere. And one thing that I know is we have the mango season where we eat mangoes, which is mid-November into December. But around October, you start to see a few mangoes that grow and they ripen up earlier than the rest of the mangoes. And it's only the boys who are usually swift to climb up trees and, you know, notice them who get those, the few ones. But one thing everyone knows in the village is when you see those first few mangoes come up, or when they hear news that, oh, someone has picked up a few ripe mangoes, they know that the mango season is around the corner. More mangoes are coming. Paul says the death and the resurrection of Jesus is like that. It is the first fruits. As we look back at that event, as we look back at the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have assurance that there's a season coming of resurrection where many people are going to be raised. And that should help us, friends, as we face the reality of death. Paul even uses the language of sleeping here. Those who have fallen asleep in him. I guess to show the temporary nature of death for those who are in Christ. But we need to look at verse 14 carefully. Because Paul says, it is those who are in Christ, those who have fallen asleep in Christ, who will be raised with Christ. What does it mean that those who have fallen asleep in Christ? He says it again in verse 16. If you look at the end of verse 16, come with me. He says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Saying the same thing, the dead in Christ, those who are asleep in Christ. Rory Shiner, a pastor in Perth, in his book, One Forever, he looked at this in Christ. What does it mean? He explains in a very helpful way, and I'm going to bring you his words. He says, imagine you are at the airport. Say you are at Sydney Airport, you want to go to Perth. What should your relationship be with the plane that's going to Perth? You don't have to stand at the airport and then just look at the plane and get inspired by the plane so that you can also fly to Perth, because you can't. You don't need to know a lot of facts about planes so that somehow, because of the vast knowledge, you end up in Perth. But you need to be inside. You need to be on the plane, or to use this language, like inside in the plane. And you know what? If you are inside the plane, whatever happens to the plane will happen to you. If the plane departs Sydney, you also leave Sydney. If the plane on the way, they realize that there's bad weather approaching Perth and they decide to divert to Brisbane, you end up in Brisbane. And if the plane lands in Perth, whatever time that plane lands in Perth, you are also in Perth at that time. So being in Christ, those who are in Christ, what happened to Christ, who happened to them? Christ died, he was buried, he resurrected. And Paul is saying the same is true for those who are in him. They will rise again. Are you in Christ, friends? You have this hope that whatever happened to Christ is true for you. Have we lost our brothers and sisters in Christ and we are worried about them? What will happen to them? If they were in Christ, what happened to Christ is true for them as well. They will be raised. That's what Paul is saying. When Christ comes back, he will come with them. So in other words, Paul is saying they are safe because they are in Christ. But look, there's another reason why we have this hope, another reason for our hope. You find that in verse 15. He says, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. I just want the few first words of that verse. Paul says, according to the Lord's word. Friends, this hope that we have is based on this true event, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul is saying again, this hope that we have is based on the word of the Lord. Friends, God's word is true. God's word is powerful. God's word comes to pass as God says it. If you want to check, read the Bible and hear for yourself. Right from the beginning, what God says happens exactly as he says it. Let there be light, let there be plants, let there be this, and things come forth to life as God is saying them to be. In the book of the prophets, in the Old Testament, you hear God speaking through these prophets, and they speak of things to happen like 400 years later, and those things, they happen exactly as they say, because it is God's word. Isaiah, read him as he talks about Jesus, and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, hear about Jesus. Things are happening as God's word said back then. One of the sermons that Dan spoke, he talked about Lazarus. Jesus came to the funeral of Lazarus and he spoke, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Paul is saying, we are saying these things, basing on the Lord's word. We don't have details of where exactly he had received this word. There many thoughts about whether he had it on the road to Damascus or he was talking to the word that was given to the other apostles or disciples, but it is the word of the Lord. and we can trust that. See, we live in a world that is scientific. People want, you know, to test and prove and see. They can't believe it if you just tell them that this is the word of the Lord. But if we believe our God is the creator of the whole universe, he sustains the whole universe, we've got to trust his word. So we have a real hope because of a true event and because of a true word from the Lord. And this hope gives us comfort. What form of comfort? We say that the Thessalonians, they were worried about brothers and sisters who had started to die among them, and they think, are they going to miss out at the end? Are they going to miss out the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus? And as Paul writes to them, he's telling them, like I read in verse 15, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Paul is saying, we are not going to precede them. They are going to be raised first. That is, if we are still alive at the second coming of Christ, we actually have to be caught up with them. So they are not going to miss out. The dead in Christ will not miss out. They will be raised first. But another comfort of this second coming, another comfort of this hope that we have in Christ, is a glorious future that Paul paints for us in this. I'll read the last few verses from verse 16 onwards. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Friends, yes, there's this hope that we have that those who have died in Christ, they will come back with Christ. We'll see them at the end. But also there's this event which is glorious, of this glorious king appearing in the sky, coming back. That should give us real hope, even when we are facing death, even when we are told that we have a few months or weeks to live, even when we face our friends whom we know that in a few weeks or months we are not going to be with them anymore. We should have this hope as we look at this glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. You see, many Christians today, they shy away from this coming, second coming of Jesus. And one of the reasons is there are some Christians who have come up and they try to predict the events in the Middle East and what's happening with Trump, and they tie that with some of the prophecies and it proven to be a lie at the end, and people look and say, oh, look, you Christians, you thought Christ was going to come in the year 2000. Look what has happened. And the rest of the Christians, they think, we just leave that second coming stuff away from us. Let's just meet and do our thing each and every Sunday. I guess there's a danger that we are going to throw away the baby with the bathwater. Are we not going to leave this great hope that we're supposed to have as Christians, that we're supposed to talk about, encourage each other about, you know, let that sink among us so that when difficult times come, when death, when grieving comes, we have something to hold on to. So I don't think we need to shy away from the news of the second coming. We just don't need to be, I guess, overexcited and predict death, because Jesus himself said no one knows the day. All we need to do is to be ready, to make sure that we are in Christ, not to calculate the numbers and say he's going to come in 2025. Because we know that if we are in Christ, whatever the dead that is going to come back, he will bring those who have died, who are asleep in him. I told you about Nelson's dad in Zimbabwe last year. And I said the question was, what do you say to that kind of situation? What do you say in that kind of situation? Nelson's dad had been going to a Celtic church where they mix up African traditional religion and Christianity. And at that point, most of it was moralistic teaching that you have to be good and God will love you and he will reward you. And if any one of us, you know this, you know that you can never be certain if it depends on you. And thank God that during the 2 weeks we spent with Nelson, I had a team of guys that I went with from here. We did spend a long time with him, reading scriptures with him, talking about Jesus, talking about the assurance that comes from trusting Jesus. And there's a statement that he said, which stuck with me and is still sticking with me right now. He said to me, "Tawanda, I know that whatever happens, my life is in Jesus' hands." That's what he said. And when I came back here a few weeks in, at the end of October, I got a text message from Nelson saying, "My dad is going to be with the Lord." And I think his words, that whatever happens, I know that my life is in Jesus' hands. My life is safe with Jesus. I think it's what we need to say to one another when the difficult times come, when grieving comes, and we have lost our brothers and sisters who are in Christ, that we can say to each other, God knows where they are. They are safe in God's hands. And we can even say confidently that when Christ comes back, we are going to meet with them again. And we are going together with them to have this glorious event of seeing Jesus coming back. Friends, I want to ask you to go and read this passage throughout the week and have these things, I guess, cemented somewhere at the bottom of our hearts. Because when the difficult times strike, at times it will be hard to read the Bible. At times there won't be a preacher or Paul won't be nearby to speak or preach to you. But if we have the truth of God in our hearts, in our minds, it's going to come up and remind us when we cannot say the words anymore. It's a good habit to store some truths as foundational truths for our lives as Christians. Megan Best, who goes to our 945 church, she's a doctor and she specializes in palliative care. She was sharing with me saying she's done lots of studies in that, and she says they've realized that people who have got faith in Christ, they die differently. And I did a Google search recently, and someone from the UK, like a nurse, they said they tried to take like records from experience, and they've seen the same. People who had solid faith in Jesus, the way they would go was different to those who didn't have. So friends, my prayer is that we have this hope as we look at the true event of Jesus' death and his resurrection, and as we listen to Jesus' words. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true and it's trustworthy. We can bank on it. Father, I do pray, Lord, for some among us who are going through grieving, that they would find comfort in your words. They'll find comfort in looking at the resurrection and the promise of Jesus' second coming. Father, prepare us for the difficult times when we are going to come face to face with death. May you strengthen us and may you give us hope, a hope that cannot be shaken. Amen.